Well, I sure appreciate the way this service has gone this morning. Blessings that I've already received. I thank the Lord for all of His blessings. Thank Him for another opportunity to be here in Holly Hill. Seemed like the theme of this particular service was about burdens, about dealing with life, dealing with life in general, and things that come our way. You know, in reality, we can sing these good songs, and I enjoy them as much as anyone else, but the truth of it is, or the fact of it is, we do live life. Life throws us different things. We have to deal with, we don't know what we're going to deal with tomorrow, do we? I remember years ago, some of us went to Fort Wayne, Indiana to visit an old woman. She lived alone, never been married. She was in a saint meeting several years before that, and everything was fine with her. And in one of the services that she was in, something happened in her neck. And her head shook, and her neck shook for the rest of her life. Never did understand or figure out what the deal was with it. But she dealt with that, along with many other obstacles of life. But there was something about her that was different than anyone that I had ever been around. When we went to visit her, she wanted us to call first, which seems reasonable to me. One of the reasons why she wanted us to call was that she could make room in her house for us to get in the house and have a place to sit down. Never been in anything like that before. It was an old farmhouse. We went in through the door that entered into the kitchen. The kitchen had cages all around it. It had birds and rabbits and chickens and ducks. There were ducks in there. She loved her animals and brought them in the house. She even had wild birds in there that probably were against the law to have. But she was a very eccentric woman. She made a little path for us from the kitchen through the hallway into the living room. And when I say path, I mean exactly that. There's only one way you could walk. And she kind of pushed things to the side, and she cleaned off just enough chairs that she knew of the people that she knew was coming. Dusty. Didn't really want to touch a whole lot of things while we were there. Coal dust all over the room. You could smell that too. But I felt very, very sorry for her. She was a very pitiful woman. We went to visit her. Her wife and I went to visit her one time. And when we got there, we found her in a very saddened, desperate condition. She didn't feel like anybody loved her. And she said, I don't even feel like the Lord loves me anymore. And I thought, what a terrible place to be in life. To get down so low that nobody loves me, not even Jesus. And you know, in her mind, she knew what the Bible said. She knew about Jesus. And I believe she was saved to all she knew and understood. But to come down to the place that goes beyond your reasoning and understanding of what you've been taught or what you believe, to come to the place of desperation where you just don't feel loved by the one that said He loved you, the one that gave His life for you, shed His blood for you. So I began to sit there and I read scriptures, I quoted scriptures, my wife and I sang to her. We did whatever we could when we left there, and of course we prayed with her. When we left there, She was encouraged. And she said, I feel loved again. Love is a very powerful feeling, isn't it? It's more than a feeling. It's something that every one of you and I need in our mental makeup. In our mental mind, we all need to feel love. We all need to know, to feel that someone cares about us. Someone cares about what I'm going through. You know, people may not know what you're going through, but God does. God does. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you face. Sometimes we say, well, and we want to pray for one another, and we should. And we should be concerned about one another. But we don't always know what's happening in someone else's life. And you know, just because I don't get a phone call, or I don't get a card, or don't hear from someone like I think I should, I want to take my strength and my courage, my hope, my health, my strength that I need, I want to get that from Jesus. Because He's always there. He promised that He'd be there with us always, even unto the end of the world. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. And people don't mean to let you down. They don't do it intentionally. People are busy, aren't they? People are very busy. And a lot of us in here this morning, we're separated by distance. We're living our lives and dealing with our families and companions and work and whatever it is that we're involved in. And we don't always have you on our minds. But when I go to prayer, I've got you in my prayers. And we do pray for one another. And I'm thankful for that. But I want us to consider for just a few minutes. It's service has already been a while, but life can get so full of things. It can get so full of problems. I thought about this woman's house and how it was so trashed up. Papers, magazines, books, everything's just stacked up all over the place. And it was nothing but a bunch of clutter in the house. That's what she lived in. She just moved things off to give her enough room to maybe to sit down and eat somewhere and lay down in her bed and sit in her living room. And I think about this morning how life can bring a lot of clutter in our own lives, in our own house. I wanted you to just think of the thought this morning, what's in your house? What's in your house? What are you dealing with? What have you brought into the house that's caused more trouble than it's worth? What have you brought into your house that's causing you to spend more time upon that than on the things of God? What are you doing in your house? What are you looking at? What are you watching? What are you reading? How are you talking? What are you saying in your house? But I'm thinking about even more than that this morning. I think about life, as I said in general, and how it brings so many problems and sorrows and heartaches. You know, you look around you today and you see people hurting. People in a lot of sorrow and trouble. In the last 3 years, and I just go back 3 years, maybe four, no more than five, do you know how many of the sisters among the saints have lost their companions? There's a lot of them that have lost their companions. There's some sitting here in this room here today that have just recently lost their companions. Do you think that brings sorrow? Sadness in a person's life? Sure it does, doesn't it? Do you think that may add up when it comes to dealing with other things in life? The things that happen to us affect us. And sometimes they affect us more than we realize that they're affecting us. I know of one sister that has lost her companion, and a year later, a year and a half later maybe, she lost her son too. And I have a sister in my congregation that lost her companion 2 years ago, and she's about to lose her son. My heart goes out to people like that. Doesn't yours? Compassion, mercy, and love. And yet, I know that I have a Father. We have a Father this morning that has that compassion. He has that love for us. And the only thing I can do, I can't go up to a sister and say, I know how you feel, because I don't know how you feel. I've never been there. I've never had that effect in my life yet. Hopefully I never will. But I know someone that does know how you feel. And I know someone that I can ask to go to the very recesses, the very deep places in your hurts and your pains and your sorrows, and ask him to comfort you in a way that only he knows how to comfort. Folks, I believe that when he comforts and when he blesses and when he puts his arms of love around us, that we can feel him. Amen. That it makes a difference.
That's right.
In whatever it is that I'm going through. It makes a difference. Because I know that, as I said, people, everybody else is busy. I care. You know, I'm going to just fess up right here, Brother Clinton. He called me a month ago or so and told me that he's having physical problems. And I've done a lot of praying for him. But I never did call him back and check on him, and I've been feeling pretty guilty about that. We get so busy and caught up with other cares. I'm going through some things too. I'm dealing with sorrows. I'm dealing with trouble. We're all dealing with them, aren't we? I surely wouldn't want to have to go through these things and deal with them without Jesus. I sure wouldn't want to try to do this without Jesus. Because he makes all the difference in this world. He makes all the difference in the world. Do you know what's happening out there around you today? And I mentioned this at home recently. People facing hard places in life. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their homes. We heard about a sister. Sister just testified she thought she might have to sell her home. People are losing their homes. People are losing their families today. Families falling apart. Terrible things happening in the world today. You feel it. You see it. We know it. And those kind of things, they bring oppression. They're not uplifting. They're not encouraging. But it oppresses us. And it wants to beat us down. And it wants, the devil just wants to keep us cowed down all the time, doesn't he? Jesus came that we wouldn't have to live that way. You know, I was driving down the street just a couple weeks ago, following a car in front of me. There was a nursing home over here on the left. The car in front of me pulled over in the left turn lane and went into the nursing home. And I thought, you know, people got hurts that we don't know anything about. Probably got a loved one in there, a mother or a father, or someone in there that they're going to go see that's just sitting there like a vegetable and existing. And yet, they love them. They care about them. You know, there's people that go to the hospitals all the time visiting those that they love. There's all kinds of situations in life. There's people in prisons. There's people that are going to funeral homes every day. Because they've lost someone they love, or a friend, or someone that was close to them. You know, I don't believe, I know, that when God made Adam and Eve, he didn't intend for it to be this way. That wasn't God's intention, folks. But disobedience to God's word brought this into the world. It brought sin into the world. And all these things that I'm mentioning really are the consequence of sin. Because man disobeyed God. It wasn't so much that what she did is what she got in her heart. And what she got in her heart caused her to do the things that she did. It's what's in people's hearts today. And people are dealing with some hard and difficult things in life. Some people have little babies, and the little babies have birth defects. Some of them very serious. Mothers and fathers still love them, still care for them, but it makes life a little more difficult for them, doesn't it? Some people are dealing with cancers and tumors. We're having hundreds and possibly thousands of men and some women coming back from overseas dealing with PTSD, which is depression, from seeing all the killing and going through the fighting and all this. Folks, people have gone through some terrible mental anguish in this life and had to deal with some very hard things, causing mental disorders. We're dealing in our country today with racial tensions, aren't we? From all directions, racial tensions. Did God intend for it to be that way? I don't believe so. We're dealing with a country today that's losing their respect as law-abiding citizens. We're losing respect for those that are out on our streets putting their lives on the line every day. We're dealing with those kind of things. You know, as I said, I appreciated and enjoyed the songs, but folks, what I want to talk about just for a little bit is reality. This is really reality. This is what we're dealing with today. You know, a great part of that, in my estimation, is that there's no fear of God in the world anymore. People don't fear God. They don't respect God. They don't reverence God. They don't even believe in God. Folks, what do you think is going to happen to a society that turns their back on God like that? We have parents today. You read it in the papers, hear it on the news, parents killing their little babies. We heard about it last night, didn't we? Parents or husbands killing their wives, wives killing their husbands. There's an awful lot of sad things going on. And you and I, we may not be out there doing those kind of things and involved in those kind of things, but what touches our lives hurts us. What touches us brings sorrow to us. And I want to read a scripture. It's a passage that we find in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah, the 61st chapter. You know it well. The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We have someone that no matter what it is we're dealing with in life that we can turn to. He came. Someone told me, has told me before, possibly you've heard it too. You folks just use Jesus for a crutch. Yes, I do. And sometimes I need Him under both arms to help me get through the things that I have to deal with in life. Sometimes we need Him that bad, don't we? Jesus is not really my crutch, folks, but He's my friend. He promised to be my helper. He promised to help guide me through this whole world. And it's getting more wicked all the time, more corrupt all the time, and I need Him more all the time. To proclaim liberty to the captives, to bind up the brokenhearted. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're brokenhearted, if you're discouraged, if you're down to the place of depression, that's not from God. It's not from God, but it can reflect on the things that you've had to deal with in life. The losses that you've suffered. The things that you have had to deal with that have beaten you down. We don't always have the strength that we want to have in order to deal with the situations in life. Disappointments come. My wife and I have recently faced one of the greatest disappointments of our married life. And we've had to deal with that. We got to go on. We got to stay saved. I've got to be encouraged. I got to commit it to the Lord. I got to trust Him. Don't have confidence in people, folks. Have confidence in God. That's where your confidence needs to be. Because when you put your hopes, your dreams, and your confidence, and your love so deeply in someone, and they'll turn around and disappoint you, and they'll knock the props right out from under you, folks. Put your confidence and your trust in God. God, it's safe. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Every one of us in here this morning that are saved, folks, we were captive at one time. The enemy had us captive. He had our full attention. And he set out to do one thing, and that's to destroy us. And he was doing a fine job in my life until the Lord came along and brought liberty to my heart and my life. The opening of the prison to those that are bound. Just a week or so ago, I was in one of our local grocery stores, and we have a daughter-in-law that's a manager there, and it's one of our bigger stores, and she's a manager there, and I was doing a little shopping, and she saw me, she came over, and we started talking, and she knows about our hurts. And our pains, and she's got a few too. And here we are standing right out in the middle of the store where, in front of, as the way I say it, in front of God and everybody, people walking around and shopping and pushing their carts. Next thing I know, her eyes begin to redden. Tears begin to come down her cheeks. And then my eyes begin to water. And we're crying and standing there and talking about the hard things. The disappointments. Folks, the reality of we all deal with those. We go around and God wants us to be happy, and we should be happy, but we're human. And that's why we need this one that came to open the prison house. That's why we need the one that came to bind up the brokenhearted. We're standing there talking, the next thing I know, she leans in and she gives me a big hug. And I said, you know, I'm probably not supposed to be doing this with the manager, am I? And she said, I don't really care what they think. Hurting. Hurting. Sorrowful. We were standing there and talking, and I really wanted to get away because I was a little embarrassed about the whole thing. And while we were still there, someone came out of the bakery, behind the bakery counter, and walked over and pressed Kleenex into her hand. Didn't say a word. But she saw her crying. She might have thought I was doing something bad, saying something bad to her. I don't know. People are hurting. And my heart goes out to them. And I'm so glad to know a father this morning that has compassion and sympathy. He knows how. Sister Molly, he knows how to sympathize with you more than I do. I mean, I have empathy for people. My heart goes out to them, but, you know, here's one that he can go out to you and he can heal. He can heal. He can soothe it. He can bind up the wounds and the sorrows and the troubles that we're having. Because from what I heard just in this service, we're all having them. We're all going through them. But how can we have victory without a trial? How can we have success without going through the battles and the trials of life? God knows how to bring this to pass in each and every one of our lives. And someone already said, His main theme, His main object is to get you and I to heaven. Is He concerned about how we have to deal with life? I believe He's concerned about it. I believe He cares. But his main concern is he allows these things to come along for the benefit of you and I getting stronger, for the benefit of you and I getting closer, for the benefit of you and I getting having more power in our life to get a hold of God and to stand true and faithful even in these days, even in all these times and things that we're dealing with in life. God knows how to make us stronger. I remember reading a book someone gave me one time, just a little book, told about a paper boy riding his bicycle down the street every morning, throwing his paper up into people's yards or porch. He said every morning he went by, there was a man that came out, he picked up his paper and he had a little sapling sitting there in the yard. He said he'd take that paper and he'd go over and he'd hit that sapling three or four times and then he'd go in the house. So he said, he asked him one day, he says, why do you beat your little tree there with the newspaper? He said, because I want the roots to get down real strong, real deep. He said, the more the adversity that that tree has to deal with, the farther down the roots are going to be. The stronger it's going to be. When those winds blow and take it to the point of breaking, and it just leans over and it bends, but it doesn't break. And he said, when that tree gets older, I want it to have some good solid roots. That's what God wants us to do too. He allows things. You know what the Scripture says? All things work together for good. He didn't say everything that come against you was for your good. He didn't say that. But he said everything that comes, all things work together. God knows how to take everything and work it together for our good, if we'll let him. Amen. Then he said, to those that love God. See, that's the secret. That's the whole secret to the verse. To those that love God. Lord, help us to love him. But yet Jesus told us that in these times, the love of many would wax cold. Lord, help me be on my guard with my love. As I face all these trials and I face all these difficulties, as I deal with my families, as I begin to deal with old age, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to stay true. Help me to keep my love intact. Because I don't want it to wax cold. I don't want my love for God to get cold, but I see it happening. We see it happening, folks. People drifting off, going away from the Lord. Why? What's time? When he talks about love waxing cold, it means at one time it was hot. One time he had a real strong love and desire for God, but now it's waxing cold. Folks, if we're not careful. But Brother Clint said, we got a part to play in this too. God will do his part. The Lord help us to keep our prayer life up. Lord help us to keep our reading and our meditation to the Lord. Lord help us to do our part. He'll do His part. It's already done, folks. To those that love God, to those who are the called, according to, is it your purpose? His purpose. You know, it means something. It really means something. For me to say, Lord, take my life and use it for your purpose. Someone here already mentioned Joseph. Anybody here this morning would choose to take the path that Joseph's life took? We wouldn't choose that. We would choose a life of ease, wouldn't we? We would choose a life without sorrow and heartaches. We'd choose that if we could still make heaven. But Joseph, he didn't choose his life either. And he ended up over there away from his family and in a strange and a foreign land. I don't know. Maybe he had to learn how to speak their language. I don't know. But he's over there and he was over there for a long time. But he kept his integrity intact. He kept his honesty intact. He kept it before God. God was still the one that he loved and he's the one that he worshipped. You know what he said after he'd been over there for a while and he'd been with Potiphar's, went through the ordeal with Potiphar's wife and all the things that he'd went through? He said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now you put that in your little mind, folks. Somewhere stowed away in your mind. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God didn't put him through that to destroy him. God didn't allow him to go through that to get him down and cause him to be lost. God doesn't want you and I to be lost, folks. God wants you and I to be saved. And he wants us to live with him forever and eternity. That's what God wants. And I want to tell you this morning, there's some of us in here that's been through enough trials, hard, difficult places to know, sure enough, God will make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. God will bless you. You may be down and out, but if you'll hold on to God and keep your love and integrity intact with God, folks, He'll bring you out into a wealthy place. According to His purpose. And I've been speaking this lately. I want to say this here. Those of us that have been to an altar of prayer and we made our consecration. Lord, I'm yours. Do with me what you want to do. Lord, I submit everything to you. Ooh, what a sacrifice. What a consecration. But let me tell you something. The day will come for every one of us that God is going to require us to keep our vow that we made at that altar of consecration. We're going to be in a hard place, the hard places that I've been talking about. Our feelings are not going to be what they were when we was at that altar. I don't feel like it, Lord. I made a vow. And I made a consecration, and the time's going to come when God's going to require us to stand by that consecration. No matter what we have to face or go through. Do we have that kind of a consecration to the Lord this morning? I hope we do. Because we're probably just at the tip of the iceberg of what the saints are going to face as far as persecution is concerned. I don't know exactly altogether. But folks, these days we're losing our liberties and our freedoms. And I don't know what it'll come to. How's your consecration? What's in your house? Have you allowed things to come in that's cluttering up, clouding your vision? You know, without a vision, the people perish. Have you allowed things to come in that's taken up all your time? You don't have any time or love or desire toward the things of God? We always need to consider that. I heard it last night. We need to consider this from time to time. The messages that have already been preached in this meeting. The greatest story ever told. Jesus. That's all. That's the only one that any of us have to point you to is Jesus. Not us. Jesus. That's all He's the only one we have. And that's who He's talking about here. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Are there saints here today? Are there people here today that are hurting, mourning, sorrowful? Seems like that it's just all I can do to get up from day to day and face the day. God's got grace for that. God's got special grace for that. He can help us through those times. To give unto them beauty for ashes. You know, that's what He did with our lives, wasn't it? When He saved me, I told people for years, I carried this huge bag of trash on my back down to that altar. But when I got up, it was gone. It was gone. Changed my life, changed the whole outlook on the way that I look at things. The way that we deal with life. Jesus. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, they're spending billions of dollars a year, people do, for drugs, for depression. There's a lot of people depressed.
Yeah.
I told my daughter-in-law while we were there crying together in the store, I said, look around, Aaron. I said, these people pushing shopping carts by us, I said, they're wearing a mask. They're wearing a mask. Some may leave here and they may go to a nursing home. Some may leave here and go to an abusive relationship at home. We don't know what these people are doing, but I said, I can promise you one thing. They're dealing with problems. They're struggling with life. I'm so glad I have Jesus. But I was going to say here, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Depression's a spirit, and it's from hell. It's from the devil. You can't treat a spirit with drugs. So if you're on some kind of drugs because of depression or whatever thing like that, folks, let me tell you, it's a spirit. The Bible says it's a spirit. The only way you can treat that is with Jesus. It's the only way you can treat it. It's the only way you can conquer it. It's the only way you can get rid of it. It's with Jesus. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful this morning. The spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. You know, and I won't turn over and read it, but in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter in the 14th verse, God speaks about prosperity. And He speaks about adversity. And He said He has appointed one over against the other. You and I, while life is giving us good times, enjoy them. That's what the writer said in Ecclesiastes. And we were created to enjoy those things. Enjoy them. But He said, in the day of adversity, consider. In the day of adversity, consider. And in Acts, Paul says, He, God, has appointed the times and the seasons. Sometimes we think, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I've got control of this, and God's in control, folks. Because He gives every one of us in this room today life and breath.
Yeah.
And if He wanted to, He could take any one of us out of here today. Just by withdrawing our breath. Let's consider that this is a day of adversity. There's a lot of hurting, a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow. What's in our house? I'd like to look at a scripture over in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. I need to try to wind this up a little bit. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 9th verse. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, every one of us, in the choices that we make every day in life, the choices that you make, will determine the direction your life will go. And He's talking here about building. What's in our house? He said here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Fire, folks, will consume the wood, hay, and the stubble. Every sacrifice shall be salted with fire, Jesus said in Mark 9:49. Everyone shall be salted with fire. But what happens when the fire is applied to the gold and the silver and the precious stones? It purifies them. It brings them to a temperature that purges out all the dross. Everything that's, can I say it this way, not like God, purges it out. That's what the fire does. Because he goes on and talks about it. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And you need to understand what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about our relationship with God, but he's talking about our service. The service that we give to our Lord. And he said here, every man's work shall be made manifest. The Lord's going to prove us. You say you love him? You're going to be tested. You're going to have to prove that love to the Lord. You have to prove it. How you treating him? How much time do you give him? Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Peter or Jude 1 tells us that Noah and his house was saved by water. You say he wasn't saved by water. Yeah, he was saved by water. The water destroyed everything else, didn't it? All living things was destroyed by water. But Noah and his house were saved. You and I today, as we deal with life, as we deal with all of our hurts and pains and sorrows and troubles and whatever, and as we deal with self, I always got self to deal with. I'm going to be tried by fire. If you look at Zechariah, it's going to tell you in Zechariah 13, in verse 9. He said he would bring the third part. I believe he's talking about the remnant, that's you and I, through the fire. Are you ready, folks? Are you ready? How are you dealing with the fire? He's going to bring the third part through the fire. And you know what? I'm thankful that he is. I'm thankful that he does. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss heaven. And I don't believe there's anything here that's worth missing heaven for. And I don't believe there's anything that I have to go through. And I may be sticking my foot in my mouth here, but I don't believe there's anything here that I have to go through that'll be worth missing heaven for. Don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. There hath no temptation taken you, but which is common to man. But God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. God is faithful, folks. You be faithful, God can bless you. If you're not faithful, He can't bless it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you might be able to bear. I'm so grateful for that. There's hope in these scriptures, isn't there? We sang the song Hope today. There's hope in the scriptures. There's hope in Jesus Christ. He will make the way. Sometimes we say, Lord, I can't take anymore. My wife and I was at the bedside of someone for months as they were dying. Eventually they did die. It took them a while. But the sister said to me, Brother Larry said, the Lord said He wouldn't put on more than we're able to bear. And I have to say, Lord, I don't think I can bear anymore. Folks, He knows when to release the pressure in the cooker and to give us the grace to be able to bear it. Because He knows what it's going to take for you and I individually to make His heaven. You know that scripture I quoted, all things work together for good? The next verse says, till we are conformed to the image of His dear Son. That's what God's working on each and every one of us. We don't always look at it that way when we're going through it. We're looking at the trial. But Paul said these light afflictions are but for a moment. And what they work for us. But he told us to look at those things that are eternal. That's where we need to keep our eyes, on the things that are eternal. I want to read one more scripture and leave it with you this morning. Found in Jeremiah. I don't have these written down, so the Lord has to help me here. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter and the 22nd verse, and we'll leave it with every one of us. He said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I'm looking at part of the church. We're part of the church here. And God, Jesus died for a healthy church. Healthy. He wants us to enjoy our salvation. He wants us to enjoy life. Even with all the things that I've talked about this morning, He wants us to enjoy our salvation that He's purchased for us. And He said, "Is there not a balm in Gilead? Is there not a physician there?" I want to encourage you this morning that if you're carrying heaviness, if you're carrying something that has you down, something that's trying to destroy you and choke the very spiritual life out of you, I want to tell you, there's a physician here today. Amen. There's someone here that can meet that need.
That's right. Amen.
There's someone here that can restore your health.
Amen.
John, 3 John, the 2nd verse says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." The Lord wants our soul to prosper, folks. And so He's put a physician. That's Jesus, isn't it? He's put a physician in Gilead. A physician in Zion today that will heal our hurts. He knows how to take our pains and He knows how to take the pain away. He knows what to do with them. He's the only one that really knows what to do with them. So if there's anyone that needs to pray, needs to bring their hurts and pains to the Lord, I believe this would be a good time to do it. It's a good time to pray. Talk to the Lord. The devil wants to oppress us and wants us to carry it around. We don't have to do that. I'm here to tell you, we don't have to do that this morning. May we all be encouraged and may we all be blessed in the Lord. Amen.